What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 61. Action explodes all over the place when the big three joined force to save their race. Dave and I, probably two-thirds of that big three.
Yep.
Not saving any race. And that's not the human race either. That gives you a little hint to just how divisive maybe this movie could be. I still like it. I think it's entertaining, but it's definitely something you couldn't get away with that tagline now.
No. I think. No, you could do a lot more in the 70s, perhaps.
Yeah, like the early to mid 70s. There you go. There's your tagline for this week. Action explodes all over the place when the big three joined forces to save their race. If you think you know what that is, and if you listen to kind of our tail end of the news section last week, I will talk about it. It was my watch this of the week for last week. So if you know what it is, if you care to investigate our last week's news episode and find that answer, send it over to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your answer directly at Dave @moviesonup. If you're correct, if we choose you, you will get some sort of exciting prize package from Movies On Up that'll contain all sorts of stuff, guaranteed not to explode in your face or any place for that matter. Box office exploding this week with children and delight, laughter, as Despicable Me came out, raked in a good amount of cash. Maybe not as much as we thought. Didn't we put the over-under at like 100?
I was conservative. I didn't know if we were doing the 5-day or the 3-day weekend.
And I don't remember what we picked.
Because I think I put it around 115, which for the 5-day, that's underselling it. It sat at $83.5 million for just Friday through Sunday. You count in Wednesday, Thursday, it's $143 million already. And what's crazy about Despicable Me 2, that's not a Pixar. Pixar generally puts a big budget behind their movies. They made this for $76 million. So, I mean, you're already...
Despicable Me 3.
Well, Minions is next summer.
Yeah, but I'm not even counting that.
I know.
That was already...
So, it's a hit. It's the biggest 5-day opening for an animated movie. It passes Toy Story 3. Second place, kind of a big old bomb. We all thought Lone Ranger was going to bomb. For the 3-day weekend, didn't even bring in $30 million. Brought in $29 million.
That's not 30.
No, the 5-day gross, I think we set it at 70. 48 for the 5-day. So it's got quite a bit of ways to go till it's $215 million budget. This movie's going to be lucky to hit 100. I can't see this ending its run with over $100 million. The Heat held strong. It only dropped 36% in its second weekend to $24 million. So it's sitting at $86 million after 2 weeks on a $43 million budget. Monsters U took a big hit, 57% drop with Despicable Me 2
out. Which, yeah, makes a lot of sense. Those were in direct competition.
Still brought in $19 million, just under $20 million. So it's sitting at $216 million after 3 weeks. Here's one that everybody thought was going to be a bomb this summer. Actually kind of a hit. Actually, a sequel is pretty much a sure thing. In fifth place, World War Z. It brought in $18 million, but the craziest thing on that, only a 38% drop off. So that means word of mouth is not killing this movie. So,
despite our best efforts.
Yeah. So it's at 158 after 3 weeks. Not in nearly as bad a shape as I thought it'd be. It has a chance at 200, which at the beginning of the summer, I never would have guessed World War Z to be a $200 million movie.
We both steered way clear of it for box office bash, despite the fact that it came out early enough. If we thought it would have made any money, either one of us would have taken it. And I don't think many of our listeners took it either.
No, and I wasn't ready to consider it a bomb right away because I thought zombies and Brad Pitt would find an audience. But the fact that it's finding an audience
continually
and essentially keeping an audience and not turning an audience away, White House Down, the opposite, it dropped 46%, only $13 million. So it's only sitting at $50 million after 2 weeks on a $150 million budget. Man of Steel brought in another $11 million for 271 total so far. Kevin Hart, let me explain. I think we set the over-under at $7 million, and you didn't want to do it because it was such a small number of theaters. I did the math at averaging, I think I did the math at 7,000 and then estimated a little bit. It brought in $10 million for eighth place. That's a $11,450 average. Its five-day opening was $17 million. This the End hanging in there, $5.8 million. Now You See Me crosses the 110 mark with $2.8 million. In a limited release, The Way, Way Back, only 19 theaters, 13th place, $552,000, brought in just under $30,000 per screen. So that's one I'd like to see expand a good bit and ride some of that momentum.
Just put it in all those theaters that The Lone Ranger is going to be getting pulled out of in 2 weeks.
Yeah. But seriously, how is Gore Verbinski still making movies?
Is he directing the new Pirates one? No.
No.
He hasn't.
No,
done
those brothers are the, I think, Dutch.
The Coen brothers.
Denmark or something. Every movie he does, it never stays on budget, and it always balloons way over budget. I think his last handful have went in that $200 million range, and he cannot stay on budget, and he's starting off with massive budgets anyway.
This one had been.
Should The Lone Ranger be a $215 million movie?
I don't think so.
But a guy on a horse and an Indian.
Yeah.
Where is that coming from? I mean, I realize the action at the... From what I've heard, the action's insane and the climax is nuts. But there are people doing it a lot cheaper than that.
From what I've seen of, like, the Lone Ranger television show, that was done on the cheap and it seemed to be more popular than this was. So... very happy that this movie has fallen flat. It makes us look like we're super intelligent, but you knew it was coming. Like, there had to be that one movie that was going to be just a giant bomb. And I know Sandler's bombed, and World War Z, we thought, was going to do that. It didn't. So, I mean, this was kind of the one that we had circled for, I want to say, at least a year.
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
Ever since that first teaser, I think everybody did. And it'll be interesting because... it's like Johnny Depp is inflappable now. Like, he doesn't matter.
He can make Dark Shadows. That can bomb. Like, he can make The Lone Ranger.
And he just gets whatever. I'm curious the ramifications, what this does to Armie Hammer. Because it's not really a John Carter scenario that kind of killed Kitsch. But I'm just curious to see where it goes. Because any rumors of Armie Hammer, like, casting in the past year or so have all been with WB, who, this is their movie. So, I mean, there's maybe Batman and Justice League, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I'm curious what this will do to Armie Hammer's big screen career.
Well, I can almost assure you that it won't include The Lone Ranger 2. And that's, I think, just fine with me and everyone else in America.
It's not even going to make $100 million domestically.
I don't know, maybe the Germans will love it. Who knows? There's no accounting for poor taste. I guess you can count a bunch of people in line already for Comic-Con. That'll be coming up here in a couple weeks in San Diego. They released their schedule pretty much for the first several days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Sunday was released today, but it's like all TV.
Okay. And even like Wednesday was all TV. And I find that strange that, you know, we are a movie podcast. We're going to complain about the amount of TV things that they're showing at Comic-Con, but it's a comic book convention.
I'm going to complain about the movie stuff at Comic-Con, too. I mean,
it's a comic book. There shouldn't be any of this stuff. I mean, logically, you know, in all fairness, it should be a comic book convention. That's what it was. That's not what it is anymore. It's a pop culture convention where I guess you go with, you know, what's people are interested in. People aren't as interested in traditional comics anymore. Go to any comic shop and you'll be able to tell that people are interested in it. The new television series is the what's happening with the Dexter and a couple new movies. It seemed like there's far more TV stuff than movie stuff. Maybe that's just because I was looking for movie things.
Yeah, no, that's accurate.
You have to look kind of hard before you actually get to anything movie related. It doesn't start till about 2 o'clock when you get a panel for a Europa Report, which I feel like is a movie that we talked about the trailer maybe a month or so ago.
Charlton Copley, correct? Is that one?
I think it is. He's not listed as being part of the panel. It's the director Sebastian Cordero, the guy that did the music, Barry McCready, and just kind of some other folks. This is supposed to be kind of a more hard sci-fi where we send a group of astronauts to one of the moons of Jupiter, Europa, apparently, and all sorts of fun sci-fi stuff goes down on there. That's actually the first movie that's getting any kind of run at Comic-Con, and it's, 1:10 is when that starts. So you got to go the entire morning, and you don't get anything. A couple other things going on Wednesday. There's a panel discussion that I think if Dave were able to go to Comic-Con, he would absolutely be waiting in line to see. It features Alfonso Cuarón, Mark Webb, and Edgar Wright. I'm not exactly sure
how Mark Webb fits in there.
Because he's doing Spider-Man. I mean, that's kind of a, especially at Comic-Con, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, Spider-Man 2 is coming out. You have Alfonso Cuarón, Gravity's coming out, and Edgar Wright, The World's End, that's coming out. So, I mean, I guess Mark Webb's is a little bit further down the line, but I don't know. I mean, I guess they've got to have three, so
yeah.
Maybe you don't like one of them. Later on in the afternoon, they're doing a double bill of Ender's Game and Divergent. I think some of these ones that kind of got smashed together, I mean, it's an hour for both movies. I think Divergent is a little surprising. I feel like that probably could have gotten its own.
I think Divergent's a little too, I don't think it's on people's radar yet.
Too far away, maybe?
Maybe. I don't think it's on the radar. I mean, you don't have a teaser. You don't have anything yet. With Teen Young Reader right now, it's hard because, yeah, Hunger Games, it's huge. Beautiful Creatures tried. Terrible bomb. Mortal Instruments, I think a lot of Divergent relies on Mortal Instruments because if you go Beautiful Creatures bomb and Mortal Instruments bombs, it's going to be hard to sell Divergent. If Mortal Instruments does well, and it looks okay, like it looks like it could be pretty good, then I think that makes Divergent's job a lot easier.
Well, you will get to see kind of the first footage of Divergent will be in that panel as well as a Q&A, more or less, from Ender. I think we have like at least one trailer, if not two, for that already. That one obviously much, much further along. But those two movies will be about 3:50 is when that starts. We talked a bit about Terry Gilliam last week when I kind of gushed about Time Bandits. Well, he's got a new one coming out. It's called The Zero Theorem, and that one is still real, real early in its stages there. They're going to have a bit of a Q&A. It's only a half an hour, just a real quick sit down with a couple of the producers, Zev Foreman, who did Killer Joe. Dean Zanuck did Get Low, and it's being moderated by a writer from the LA Times. So a couple more things going on Thursday. We've talked a lot of video game movies recently, adaptations, Assassin's Creed, Ghost Recon, just a bunch. And there's going to be, and it makes sense to have it in Comic-Con, a golden age of video games. They're going to have some folks that have done that have directed some of the video game movies that are already out. Most of those are really, really terrible. The panel varies from people that had been involved with the Hitman franchise, the Street Fighter franchise. Franchise is in air quotes there. That seems really, really pushing the video game agenda on that.
It's called the golden age of video game movies. We haven't hit that. I don't...
like, maybe they're... saying that
are they predicting when it'll come?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe we're entering that.
Are we on the verge of it? I just
maybe golden age just means there's going to be a lot. Not necessarily they're going to be good. There's just a lot. I've got a little bit of interest, maybe not a lot, in The Sidekick. There's going to be a premiere screening of that with a Q&A. It's from Michael Whitehorn, who did some work on The King of Queens, which is not one of my favorite shows, but the concept sounds pretty cool, and it seems to work well, like it would fit well at Comic-Con. It's about a career sidekick, you know, like a Robin, or like a second-level superhero who essentially just kind of gets old and put out to pasture. Lizzie Caplan is in the movie. I like her quite a bit. Martin Starr, Josh Myers. So, I mean, it's got some interesting people in it. That's a movie that... I'm sure after the screening and the Q&A, we're going to get more details about it, and that's something that I'm looking forward to hearing people after they've seen it to let me know if it looks good or not. Friday is at least in the morning, seems like it would absolutely be Dave's day. Like, you'd be running around pretty solid for 2 hours, not knowing which way to go. Right out of the chute is the World's End panel with Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. They're all going to be there rapping about that movie. Followed, this is all in Hall H, so just get there early and just stay for a while. Right after that is the Veronica Mars special video presentation and Q&A. Not really sure what a special video presentation means, but
the Kickstarter video they made was awesome. Even if it's something like that, that would be cool to see, because that was a good Kickstarter video.
And I think just the chance to maybe kind of thank fans in person, because I got to believe that, you know, there would be a number of folks that contributed to the Kickstarter would probably be there. And just a good chance to sit down in front of people and kind of tell you the way the movie, you know, might be headed, the way the project's coming together. Right after that is the Universal, a panel that's going to feature Kick-Ass 2 and Riddick. Both of those comic-centric franchises seem to fit really, really well.
And they come out in like a month or so.
Yeah. I know. I knew Kick-Ass 2 was seemingly right around the corner.
It got pushed back. It was supposed to be June. It got moved to
August.
It's either August or early September. Yeah.
I feel like that's about right. And Riddick, there'll be stars from both of those movies there, such as Dave Bautista and Vin Diesel. He'll be there too. And Starbuck. Katie Sackhoff, also in Riddick, she'll be there. Sony and Screen Gems are doing a combined one where they're going to feature Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, Mortal Instruments, which Dave talked a little bit about earlier, RoboCop, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. All of that stuff will be from 4 to 6:15 in Hall H. So you got quite a smorgasbord there. You got stuff for the kids, stuff for the not kids.
It wouldn't shock me if RoboCop trailer premieres.
I certainly hope so.
That thing's been being made forever.
And there's enough, you know, pictures from the set.
Yeah.
Like, they have enough stuff done.
I mean,
that
I think there's footage from Spider-Man that could show up too, because that's been filming for a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It doesn't say, you know, in the article that I'm reading that there's going to be any footage from it. But, you know, we see that a lot of times at Comic-Con. You know, we'll say, okay, this is supposed to happen and this is supposed to happen. I can remember Godzilla was kind of a big hit last year, and nobody knew that
nobody
it was going to be there.
Nobody expected Ant-Man a test reel footage. Yeah. So, I mean, a RoboCop trailer would be rad. Like, I'd love it if that would come out of Friday.
And I'm sure some stuff will. It's one thing to sit down and say, these are the things that are going to happen. This is what we know is going to happen. But the best thing about Comic-Con is the things you don't know.
And that's what most of it is most of these studios are not giving you an idea so that when you hear Godzilla's roar, the place erupts. Like, when you see...
You don't read about it and know that it's going to be there 3 weeks ahead of time on the internet, or listen to some schmucks like us tell you,
there's going to be a RoboCop trailer, so just be prepared to clap.
Be prepared to clap for the 25th anniversary of Roger Rabbit. That just happens to be a film very near and dear to both of our hearts. They're going to reunite some of the folks that helped make that movie, including the voice of Roger Rabbit, Charles Fleischer, he'll be there.
He's nuts now. He's absolutely nuts now.
I guess.
He'd be fun to watch on a panel.
I would have just assumed that the guy that did Roger Rabbit was always nuts, but I mean, maybe that just makes him a tremendous performer. One last thing on Friday is the Metallica Dame DeHaan project. In 3D?
There's a trailer for it that's ridiculous. And apparently rumor is, well, it might not even be rumor, it might have been reported, Metallica is playing.
At Comic-Con?
So it's not just going to be the concert film, but then followed by a concert.
I mean, it does say that all the members of Metallica are going to be there, Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, Kirk Hammett, and Trulio.
The bassist.
Yeah, the bassist, that guy. That's one that... I don't know.
And the thing is
it just a music video? Or, I mean, we got to probably have to do the trailer at some point.
It's a 3D concert. Well.
Or not.
I got excited about the trailer because I hate Metallica. But Some Kind of Monster is one of the funniest comedies of the last 25 years. It was a documentary just about them making Saint Anger. But it's one of the funniest things just because these guys have no... they know, I don't know what planet they're on, right? Like, they're not from us. So I thought, oh, Metallica made another movie. This is fantastic. Hopefully we get more gems, like some kind of monster. But no, it's like concert footage cut in with like a music video that goes the whole length of the concert starring Dane DeHaan in 3D.
I'll pass.
Sadly, it's not going to be the worst thing Dane DeHaan starred in.
I bet it'll be better than Chronicle.
I doubt that. Wait, no.
That's exactly what you're saying.
It'll be better than Chronicle,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I thought you were trying to trick me.
I guess I did, didn't I? That's it for Friday. They really kind of saved most of, if not all, of the big guns for Saturday.
Well, Saturday's the big day. Saturday's the day you want to get to Hall H and hang out all day. Because you pretty much have to line up there Thursday to get in.
Yeah, I mean, you might, like when I said show up there first thing in the morning on Friday and just stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hall H is always, that's where most of the
Saturday
big stuff. Saturday
is when the big heavies
That's where
come
people
out.
Get stabbed and,
yeah.
Yeah, Hall H is the place where you want to be. Starting on Saturday, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures are going to be rolling out a bunch of stuff that looks really, really awesome. Kind of the darling from last year, Godzilla. That's going to be there in full glory now. I mean, we're actually going to see some more stuff from Godzilla. That's another one where I hope that we get an actual trailer, not just
I don't
teaser.
Know how far along they are, but it'd be nice to get. I mean, Taylor Johnson's going to be there.
Bryan Cranston, I think, is going to be there.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Olsen, Ken Watanabe. It seems like most of the players involved are going to be there. So, that would be nice. Nice to be able to see something from just the roar last year to here's some, even if it's not a full-blown trailer, a teaser even at this point, I guess, would be great. They're going to follow that up with The Seventh Son. That's the Jeff Bridges joint, which I think recently just kind of got pushed back, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Julianne Moore also in that one. 300 Rise of an Empire kind of smashed right there in the middle, which is probably a good place for it. Hey, this is here too, but check it out, because after that, you go from one visual style, if you will, to Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity.
Which I maybe a full trailer, hopefully. It's due. It's time. I mean, it comes out
in
November.
Was it just a teaser we did last week?
It's been a while.
A couple weeks ago. Sometimes those lines get a little fuzzy.
It comes out in November, though. A full-blown trailer would be timely.
Would be appropriate. They're going to follow that up with the Lego Movie, which does have a trailer that Dave and I both really, really like. A lot of folks are going to be there for that. Chris Pratt, Will Ferrell, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett, Nick Offerman, Alison Brie, Liam Neeson, and Morgan Freeman. So a lot of star power.
I can't
wait
for that movie.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. And I don't need anything more to come from the Lego Movie. I've seen enough to know I want to see it. That's
yeah.
It. I don't need anything else.
Most interesting thing. No mention of any DC films. And they're not really in a position to where they can... Do they make an announcement on The Flash? Do they have Del Toro do something about the Dark League or whatever it's called? The name's escaping me.
The Justice League?
No, he's doing the Dark Justice League with Hellboy, Swamp Thing, and the likes.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, does DC just get ignored? Do they just pretend it's not there? Do they do something Man of Steel-ish? It's just... I wouldn't be surprised if something DC comes out, if something is there. I think it'd be so hard for them just to
be at Comic-Con and not have anything. Yeah, it would be a bit surprising. At the very least, there'll be some Justice League members in the Lego Movie, so that's okay.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
Lionsgate has got a little movie called Hunger Games 2 that will probably cause some sort of a panic there that normally does that. They're also going to have I, Frankenstein. It's going to be there. Is that the one with Harry Potter?
No, that's Igor. I thought this was Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, it's Aaron Eckhart. And
written by Pride and Prejudice and Zombies guy.
Yeah, with the blonde chick from Chuck. Sarah?
That was her name on Chuck.
Yeah. Yvonne
Strahovski, Jai Courtney, Han Solo himself, Bill Nye, Aaron Eckhart, Miranda Otto.
Yeah, and then the Hunger Games thing. Never before seen footage. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they do.
See, I don't like footage. Like, I get excited about trailers.
Yeah.
Like, so for for stuff that...
Like RoboCop, Godzilla,
yeah,
that we
like
haven't seen
Hunger
yet.
Games, like, okay, they'll probably show like 10 minutes of the movie. I don't care. But I'll wait till November.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just, it's a couple more months and the movie will be released. Like, I mean, Godzilla, we have a long time
like
to wait.
Like, Frankenstein, okay, a teaser maybe. It's due for, I think it's January release.
But I don't think we've seen anything from
that.
No,
we've seen nothing. We've seen some set pictures of Eckhart.
Of Square Jaw.
Yeah.
It's a good forum to release some stuff, get some good buzz for something, you know, right out of the shoot, something brand new. But, yeah, I mean, do you need to see anything more from Hunger Games? Are they going to make any more money by showing 10 minutes? No, they're really not. They're just going to cause somebody to get stabbed again. That's really all it's about. 20th Century Fox is going to have a panel, but don't really know what it's going to be about. So we just got to roll the dice on that one. I would assume that the Wolverine will be discussed with that. Probably, is that open the weekend of Comic-Con?
It does.
Okay. So I'm sure that'll be some kind of a topic of conversation. And probably.
Hopefully.
Probably, maybe some Days of Future Past.
They've been filming a while, whether there's any footage ready or not.
And we've seen some set pictures come out. There was one of Quicksilver's house.
Yeah.
So
I'd be interested to see. They're one of those that they haven't announced what they're doing, and you're getting up to it. So it'd be nice to see Days of Future Past addressed. You can't not say anything about Wolverine. And other than that, they don't really have anything on their slate that is really... that gets me excited.
Marvel's going to have a panel for Thor and Captain America. No surprise there. You knew both of those were coming out. There was going to be some kind of a
But
presence.
Marvel's good at surprising. So I'd expect... I think Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be there. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if...
Dave Bautista will be in the house.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there are rumors leaked of... confirming Karen Gillan, Lee Pace, and Benicio Del Toro's role. And it'd be cool if we find out who's playing Groot and Rocket Raccoon, because Marvel's done pretty well at keeping secrets. I mean, nobody expected the Ant-Man footage last year. Maybe we get Ant-Man casting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think Marvel has Comic-Con down, and they will show something.
And everything they do now is, you know, met with such excitement that, I mean, they're everything they do, not just Comic-Con, they're doing everything right. So I don't...
They have about five release dates that they've locked down for untitled projects.
Yeah.
Last year, they announced Phase 3 with Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then they named, you know, they gave the Thor and the Captain America, they might title the Avengers. Now, they might announce, you know, Black Panther, Doctor Strange. They may say what some... I mean, there
could... Didn't they have, like, the Infinity Gauntlet there last year or something?
I think so.
They'll do nice kind of like, hey, check this out things that make everybody just go nuts. I mean, if there ever was, you know, a home field advantage for any scenario...
They know what they're... Because a few years ago, they had... The Avengers assembled on stage, and that was the first you got. The first we knew of Ruffalo as Banner and Renner. I mean, he was in Thor, but Marvel knows what they're doing. Yeah. And I'll be disappointed if major news doesn't come from Marvel.
Yeah, at this point, you know, you kind of expect.
Like, I'd like to see like Doctor Strange and Black Panther announced or something. Like, maybe not necessarily Black Panther, definitely. Doctor Strange, I could do without, but announce
Iron Fist.
Yeah, announce something that. Just knocks people down.
Maybe conspicuous by their absence is a DC presence. The news outside of Comic-Con didn't get any better for DC this week. It is, in fact, a dark day for the Justice League. Christian Bale tells Entertainment Weekly in very plain English that he won't be Batman again, period, end quote, in the Justice League or anything else for that matter. So it won't even be, hey, let's get back together with Chris Nolan, get the band together. Have a fourth Batman movie. No, he's done. He's not Batman anymore.
They wrapped it up.
Yeah.
Like, to do a fourth one after that would make no sense. And does that Batman fit into the world of Man of Steel?
It doesn't. They've said those movies don't exist in the same universe anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how many times people have to hear it before they can say, well, all right, this just isn't going to happen.
And that's what's frustrating is that anytime Bale or Nolan are asked about it, They're going to say no every time, and it's just going to keep getting reported as news. This isn't the first time he said he's not going to play Batman again.
No, but the quote couldn't have been any any more plain. So if there's any question, I feel like it has to be dead
so
now.
So step up, Hugh Dancy. It's your turn.
Or Jai Courtney, right? Why can't you just do everything?
No Armie Hammer. Not Armie Hammer.
No, I don't think so. We were talking earlier about Guillermo del Toro's involvement with maybe doing some kind of like the mutant version of the Justice League. He's also kind of got a hell of a lot of good feelings towards Legendary Pictures now. Following his work with them on Pacific Rim, he seems like he really wants to make all his movies for Peter Jackson's company. Rumors of Hellboy 3 are kind of swirling again. The problem with that is going to be getting the rights from Universal, and the cost of this one is seemingly like it's going to be way more than the other two. And from what I understand, Legendary is kind of split with Warner Brothers now. The backing was there for Pacific Rim, but not going forward.
That's an interesting story in of itself, to where Legendary has built itself up to be this like pretty phenomenal.
To be a studio.
Yeah, this pretty phenomenal studio. A lot of that came from Warner Brothers, the backing that they had. So if they can float on their own, that's awesome, because they make good products and they have a smart way of doing it. It'll
but
be interesting.
The projects they make, Pacific Rim does not get
you don't
made
get that
without
made
Warner.
Without Warner Brothers. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, because they, yeah.
And it seems like Hellboy 3 would be another one that is going to be a much harder sell without the cash from Warner's. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, Del Toro's made no secret that he'd like to make Hellboy 3, and I think everybody else would like to do it. The problem is going to be the budget and procuring the rights from Universal. That, I'm sure, will cost a little bit of money as well. So maybe Hellboy 3 will be fine. Maybe it might be in a little bit of trouble. Lee Daniels is in some trouble as well, as apparently he presents Manservant, based on the Washington Post article, A Butler Well Served by This Election. He is in hot water again with the MPAA. This time it's over the title of the Forest Whitaker movie that used to be called The Butler. Turns out there's a movie by that same name from 1917, and the MPAA, which is, I guess they're responsible for everything in Hollywood, they've come down and said, lowered the hammer on Lee Daniels, and said he can't have repeat titles anymore. You may remember a movie that Daniels did before about a large black woman that was set to be called Push until the MPAA made them change it. Precious. Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
This is basically just, I believe it's, who is behind it? I think it's WB behind the challenge. It's basically just a shot at Weinstein. Because the Butler is getting put out by the Weinstein Company. And the lawyers are claiming that they have total disregard for title copyright rules, and there's a back and forth in letters that's just gets petty name calling and stuff, and it's just interesting story that really doesn't mean anything.
Except they're going to have to change the title for The Butler. That'll be called something else. They have to.
Add a colon. The Butler, a memoir. Bam.
Yeah, you could.
The Butler, through the years.
I could understand with the two pushes, because they were much closer together.
Those were really close
in terms of time.
1917.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to get that confused. But it seems weird that it's the second time for Lee Daniels. Like, you knew there was trouble the first time.
But
you had to change it.
Lee
so.
Daniels can't make a movie. Like, it just seems like every time he makes a movie, there's more interest in it in behind the scenes, off camera stuff than there is in the actual movie. Because Paperboy? That there was a lot leading up to that.
I think Precious did okay.
No, I'm not, no, I realize that.
That one notwithstanding?
No, because it's really only like three, but it just, he gets so much attention off camera for some reason.
We'll give a little more attention to some trailers this week. The first one comes to us from some faraway land where they don't speak English, but they do cook meth, and a lot of it is drug war. It looks to me like Breaking Bangkok, I guess. They you got a guy that cooks up a bunch of meth, gets pinched by the cops, and then I think he goes stooly, but I can't really tell.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in this trailer. It looks like punchies, fighting, shooties.
It is a meths, little, it is a little bit of everything. And I don't understand how the trailer flows together. They'll show you like a gunfight. They'll show you like a chase and like a punchy, kicky thing. It's like, look, we're going to do this, this, and this in some order. So if you like these things.
Yeah, it's like it. Parts of the trailer make it look like a Jet Li movie where it's just punchy, kicky stuff. Part of it looks like a Heat type, like really intense, like crime drama. And then other parts just look like a dumb action movie. Like, I don't know.
It might be all of those things. It might be none of those things. But it is a trailer. Check it out if you like. We got a first official trailer for Delivery Man. We had a teaser for it a while back, which was really just Vince Vaughn and Chris Pratt staring at each other. This one, you get a bit more of Vaughn in his role as kind of the do-gooding dad of
533 children.
Yeah, a bunch of kids. I see some more interaction with him and Chris Pratt, both looking a bit less silly in these roles than they normally do.
It gets a lot more into the plot because the original Starbuck is an awesome movie, and this shows a lot about it to where I think I said it during the teaser, I think Vince Vaughn is the guy that can make this work. It's going to be funny, and it's not going to be internship-type funny where it's just lazy jokes and cheap laughs. Like, this one has to have a lot of heart, or it doesn't work. I mean, the whole concept is they want to sue him to find out who he is because he donated his sperm anonymously. But he has all
he has all of their dossiers.
So he starts to look for them and try to make their lives better
without letting them know.
So the original had a lot of heart, and it was hilarious. This one, I hope Vince Vaughn can do it. Like, I know he can. And if it avoids the dumb, just the internship-type humor, I think it'll be really, really good. And Chris Pratt looks awesome in it.
I know I like Chris Pratt, and I go through phases with Vince Vaughn. I'm definitely not into what he's been doing recently, but this looks like something he can do well and has done
this
in the
character
past.
This character is very Vince Vaughn-y. He gets pigeonholed into saying people complaining that he does the same thing over and over again, and he kind of has for the last 8 years or so. This one would work with that if there's a little bit extra to it, because he does have acting chops. And he does have this charm and sentimentality to him that this can bring out. And if it's done well, if it's written how it's supposed to be, it should be really good. And I'm excited for it.
I like the idea, I guess, of different ways that you can put together family. There's different ways you can put together a family in the Box Trolls. You can have a mother or a father. You can have dad, mom, or just be raised by trolls. Box trolls are exactly, I guess, what they sound like. Trolls that live in boxes, kind of. And apparently they don't eat babies. They just like babies. They raise them somehow. I'm not sure how we get from... And everything you hear about this movie to this point is that, it's a cartoon. It's from the people that brought...
It's from
Laika
Coraline, Studios.
And Paranorman. But everything you hear about this movie is that it features same-sex parents, which does kind of come up in the teaser here. I don't really know how they play into the story.
I love the trailer. Like, I love that it was just mom and dad and dad, mom and mom. Like, I liked it. It's only like a minute and 12.
Yeah, and really very short.
And it was just cool. Like, I love the animation isn't – it's like I said, it's from Laika Studios, but it doesn't look stop motion. It looks more CG. Which I'm interested to see how they do with that, because it looks cool. And the voice cast is, you got Elle Fanning, Simon Pegg, Toni Collette, Ben Kingsley, Nick Frost, Jared Harris, Richard Ayoade, Tracy Morgan. That's a solid cast.
And the past couple things they've done, Paranorman was nominated, and I think Coraline was too, wasn't it?
And they're both awesome.
Yeah.
Like, nominations aside, they're both really good movies.
So, I mean, not a lot to take from this one other than it looks cool. This is the new thing that these guys are doing, so I'm sure we'll hear more about it on down the road.
It doesn't come out till next September.
Yeah, so I mean, it makes sense that we only see just a little bit from it at this point. From boxes to bags. Our next trailer is for Baggage Claim, which stars one of the Maori twins, just to prove that they both don't have to be in the same project all the time. I think it's Tia that's in this one, but
it's Tia.
Don't quote me on that. After seeing the trailer, it kind of makes you appreciate Tyler Perry.
What's weird about this, she's a stalker. She's a stewardess, and her friend's getting married, so she has to find a date to this wedding. So her friends talk her into looking up all her ex-boyfriends and finding out their flight schedules.
And putting her on these flights.
Yeah! So it's like straight-up stalker stuff. But what's weird is that her white friend, Adam Brody, that's interesting to me because Adam Brody made pretty much this exact same movie called Some Girls that's not out yet. Like, it's him flying around to see all his exes. And it's the same movie, just lighter.
So he, and lighter,
he's got
of
a
course,
type.
You mean it's not, it's heavy. It's not
it didn't look nearly as heavy. No, the Adam Brody one just seems really loose and lighthearted. This one, it does too, but not as much.
Our next trailer is spending a delightful 2.5-some-odd minutes with Juno Temple in Afternoon Delight. Kind of like The Blind Side, but with strippers. Juno Temple is injected into a sexless marriage as kind of a nanny.
I think it looks amazing. I love Catherine Hahn. I think Catherine Hahn is one of the funniest like actresses working, but I think she's completely underappreciated. So to see her in like a lead is awesome because she's usually she'll show up in a bit part and kill it. So her as a lead is awesome. Her and Josh Radnor, not the best marriage. So her friends take her to a strip club and then she decides to adopt a stripper pretty much.
Kind of, yeah.
And I love the cast because Juno Temple, at this point, I'll watch her in anything.
She's really good.
She's so good. Like as far as actresses working right now, especially young like her, she's doing really interesting stuff and everything she does is so unique and she's worth watching for. But Catherine Hahn and her, Josh Radnor, who I could do without,
leave, I know.
Jane Lynch, but then I'm Jessica St. Clair, who I love, and if you never watched her short-lived NBC sitcom BFF,
you're not the only one.
Go watch it; it was amazing. Michaela Watkins, and then Keegan-Michael Key, who just keeps showing up in a bunch of movies. He's like what Catherine Hahn's been doing, where he'll show up in a small part and just destroy it, and he's gonna blow up pretty big. But I think this looks awesome. I'm really excited about this movie.
I think, you know, reading the cast, even before I saw the trailer, I thought, boy, this could be something that I'm interested in. And then after watching the trailer, I thought, yeah, this
it
is
looks
something
funny.
I'm interested in. Yeah.
Do you know, what this movie reminds me of is it's a lot of funny people, and it looks like it's a good script, and it's relative unknowns. I mean, for the most part. Like, there's decent names, but nobody that's, like, major big-time movie stars. It reminds me a lot of what Life as We Know It was supposed to be. The Katherine Heigl, Josh Duhamel movie where they get kids, they're given kids. That was, apparently that script was really, really good and smart and should have been an ensemble like this, but then they brought in Heigl and Duhamel and turned it into that. This seems like that kind of script that is handled correctly.
I agree with you 100%. It was a little bit less excited about seeing the trailer for Inside Llewellyn Davis, the first trailer that we had talked about. It's a new Coen Brothers movie about a folk singer, Llewellyn Davis. This one, it seems like it focuses more on the music as there is a jam playing kind of throughout the thing. We get to see a little bit more of the supporting cast, see Maura Goodman, more a JT.
Timberlake with a beard.
Yeah, it looks like an Amish dude.
I'm into it.
You like Timberlake with a beard?
I do.
Well, if you like Timberlake with a beard, you can see it in the new Coen Brothers trailer, and I'm sure that's what they're really
going for. That's pretty much all I took away from that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big enough Coen Brothers fan to just see this. I'm sure it's good.
I like them a lot. I see almost all of their stuff. This doesn't really move me one way or the other, even with a bearded Timberlake.
Yeah.
I think it's not a big surprise. We talked to Kevin Hart at the beginning of the podcast. Dave and I both kind of like Kevin Hart.
I love Kevin Hart a lot.
Excited about the possibility of him becoming a legit movie star, like showing up in a lot of stuff. I think this is going to help a lot.
I said it from the, yeah, go on.
The movie's called Ride Along, obviously starring Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. It's a buddy cop movie. And you could see, I mean, I could hear this role from Kevin Hart being played by fill in the blank. Chris Tucker was the first one that came to mind, and how awful it would be with Chris Tucker. But Kevin Hart seems like he won't be as annoying.
No.
But the chemistry with him and Cube looks really good.
It looks. I mean, this is one we've talked about a couple times. We talked about it when it cast, because this is like a crossover one. Because Kevin Hart's having success in stuff like Think Like a Man. Like, that was a hit, but that had its audience. This is more of a mainstream, like, why Ice Cube, he's done well. This is built to be a more wide mainstream comedy, and I think it looks funny.
Yeah.
There looks to be legitimate. Ice Cube is, I like him in that, like, hard role, because he does it well, and then I just love Kevin Hart. he's so funny, and I think the dynamic between those two, I mean, it's already been greenlit for a sequel. This movie doesn't come out until January or March, but a couple months ago, they greenlit a Ride Along 2, so
I can't see this movie not doing well, especially, you know, if we look at Identity Thief, when that came out, that time of the year, with that cast, it was a decent comedic pairing. I think this is going to be a really, really good pairing, and if it releases in January or March, it's going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, it's going to make a ton of money, and I guarantee Ride Along 2 will be a summer release. Look at 21 Jump Street was released in that March range. Made a lot of money. 21 Jump Street 2, right in the middle of next summer. So this is, it's safe. It's almost safe. If you get the buddy cop comedy, there's so many of them because it works. If you get a cast that works, you end up with 3 Rush Hours. You end up with 5
hours.
Lethal Weapons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a formula there. You're going to see the Heat too. I mean, the Heat's doing well, and they're relatively cheap to make. So I'm excited. I love Kevin Hart. I don't hate Ice Cube. I think it'll be good.
One final trailer, a little Christmas in July for you. Black Nativity, starring a bunch of folks, Jennifer Hudson, Mary J. Blige, a bunch of folks doing a lot of singing. I got to say, Mary J. Blige scared the hell out of me with that hair that she's got and the wings when she shows up as some kind of an angel. This releases in late November. So I feel like it is like a Christmas type story, Christmas miracle type thing with singing and
name your movie something else. I can't take a movie named Black Nativity seriously. It looks like it's because it's not a God. It just looks heavy. I mean, it just looks really, you know, drama. It doesn't look like the kind of movie I want at Christmas. I realize I'm not its audience, but it doesn't look lighthearted. It doesn't look fun. It just looks musical-y and just singing. And
yeah, a bunch of downtrodden folks trying to, I guess that's kind of a Christmas theme, is, you know, people trying to have some sort of miracle. But yeah, I don't know. And the music never does a lot for me. When that's the sole selling point of a movie,
to be
I'd fair, take it or
I'm
leave.
Not a musical guy.
Well,
I don't really like musicals. And when you're, so obviously when your trailer is 90%
singing,
focused on the musical part of it, I'm going to lose interest really quick.
Going to be a bit of a problem. There's a movie we talked a couple months ago. No, I talked a couple months ago. I think it was during our summer preview, maybe, or something. Austin Land came up about the Jane Austen
fantasy
camp. It's not
camp.
A fantasy camp. That's the word that comes to mind, but it's some sort of fantasy experience with Carrie Russell and her curly hair again. And I thought, as a satire, this could be really, really funny. They released a trailer that does have a bit of satire to it, but it also, to me, seems like it still appeals to people who legitimately would go to a Jane Austen fantasy camp.
I do. It's directed by Joshua Hess from Napoleon Dynamite. I think the whole concept is satire enough. I mean, she's so obsessed with Colin Firth's Mr. Darcy from the British adaptation of Pride and Prejudice that she can't make a relationship work because nobody measures up to him. So she goes to this Jane Austen fantasy camp to find love. And that concept right there is so, it's so tongue in cheek enough. Listening to it, I didn't have interest in it. It doesn't look terrible. I
I don't think it looks terrible, but I mean, just hearing the idea, I was pretty excited. And then I saw the trailer, and that got knocked down a peg or two.
Kerry Russell is good in this kind of... It reminds me of a movie, Waitress, from a few years back, where just like a subtle, you know, and she was really good in it. Like, I like her in this kind of thing.
I guess that would be probably one of the... I think that would be one of the worst ways that I could spend my summer. I could think of a better way to spend my summer, and that would be lifeguarding with Kristen Bell. And that is exactly what happens in our last movie, minus the part about me doing it with her.
Because she's doing it with a high school kid.
Yeah, she is. Kristen Bell plays a 30-year-old lifeguard.
She's 29.
I was hoping you might catch that, because that comes up a couple times in the trailer. She has a degree, so she's not a dropout, has no idea what to do with her life, but decides that whatever she is doing, not good enough or not working for her. So she moves back in with her parents, or tries to, and becomes a lifeguard for the summer.
Yeah.
It's like a coming-of-age story, but in reverse, like a Benjamin Button coming-of-age
story. Yeah, it just looks interesting. The concept, all right, almost 30-something, quits everything and just moves in with her parents. It looks like there's a lot more to it than that. It doesn't get into it. The trailer focuses on Kristen Bell, but you can tell by the trailer that the supporting cast each have their own storylines that are going to come into play. That kind of has me interested. I like her enough. She hasn't made the best movies.
Film choices?
Yeah. So to see her in something that I'm excited, that I'm interested in, I like, that's a step forward.
It is no hit and run, but...
Or win in Rome.
Yeah, they can't all be, I suppose. There's also no Grown Ups 2. The wait finally over. We can all get chocolate wasted again with Adam Sandler and his homies. That movie will be out in theaters this week. Thankfully, it is not the only wide release. We have giant robots prepared to save us from the apocalypse of Grown Ups 2. Pacific Rim will be out as well. Over-unders, Dave.
It's gonna be tough, because Despicable Me is... It's going to... You know, I'm making a stand. We looked Lone Ranger in the eye and said, shut up. So I'm 25 for Grown Ups 2.
Under.
I'm taking the under. Last year, we told Adam Sandler, no thank you with That's My Boy. This one, it doesn't seem like it's promoted nearly as heavily. I think they're relying on Grown Ups.
The first trailer was the callback to the first movie.
It was a minute and
a
half of that. I'm going to say $25 million. I think people are demanding more. I really do. Pacific Rim stuff, I want to say like
$75 million.
Can it do it? That's a lot, because it's interesting. It's not a franchise. Like, it's not...
No.
It's not an established thing.
It's not a comic book. It's not a sequel. It's not a reboot.
But it looks awesome.
An original thought. I'm going to take the over.
I'm gonna take the over.
I'm
going
to take the over just because, I mean, yeah, I understand that Despicable Me 2 is out there making a lot of money. But neither of us think Grown Ups is going to do anything. That poses zero threat.
No, and then the rest of the competition, I mean, you're looking at Lone Ranger, not competition.
Nope.
The Heat, it's a different audience. It'll be in its third week. I think it'll still do something, but not enough to do damage.
White House Down? No.
No, World War Z? I mean, it's kind of at a point now where your only competition is Despicable Me. Which,
and again, I don't think that's the same.
It's a different audience than Pacific Rim. So part of me wants to say, because Despicable Me, I think, makes at least 50. I think it's going to hold strong and make at least 50. So you're looking at
130 for the top
130
two.
With the top two. May was the highest grossing May in history.
June was the highest grossing.
This weekend was the third highest grossing weekend ever, and the third weekend of this summer to make the top 10. So people
money's
are
out there.
People are going out, and as of now your options are thinner. I'm taking the over.
I was going to say, after all of that, you kind of do have to take the over. You've built the case for the over. Over it is. We both agree. Under on Grown Ups 2, over on Pacific Rim. A couple limited releases that we've talked quite a bit about. Crystal Fairy will be out this week. That is the Michael Cera, Gabby Hoffman joint. Dealing with Idiots which I feel like we just talked about last week.
I think so. The Jeff Garland directed movie.
Which just happens to work out well because we just talked about it last week. It'll be out in limited release this week. Fruitvale Station, the Michael B. Jordan. Pawn Shop Chronicles comes out. That I have very little idea what it is, but it's on several screens. So I thought it was worth putting on there. And VHS 2, the long-awaited sequel to VHS. Dave and I are apprehensive.
I still don't think I'll enjoy it.
Nope, I don't think I will either. But I will give it a try because I am a sucker for
I'll give it a try and probably regret it.
Sure. New on DVD this week, a movie that I do want to try. I like all of the things that Paul Rudd and Tina Fey do. I'm excited to see Admission. I've heard it's not great, but you know, I'll watch it in the comfort of my own home for a couple bucks. That'll be just fine. The Host will also be out, as well as Spring Breakers, Tyler Perry's Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, and The Power of Few, which is a movie that had a premiere here in Youngstown. So that was fun. That's got Milo Ventimiglia, and I believe Christopher Walken is in that as well.
Yeah, I want to see Admission. Spring Breakers, I don't think I'll like, but I'll give it a try.
I know you will.
Boobies.
I guess they're not preteen anymore, but Disney Channel, scantily clad young ladies, Robin Banks. So, hooray. In case Admission and Spring Breakers are not enough for you, Dave, why don't you give the folks something else that they can take a look at this weekend?
I'm going to get back on Juno Temple for a second. Little Birds from a couple years ago. Just a cool coming-of-age story. Her and her friend follow a couple guys to L.A., and she's at that point where even a bad movie like Jack and Diane, which was really bad, I don't regret watching it. Just
that was the werewolf movie, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Just because she's so fun to watch. And so
I thought she was really good in Killer Joe, too.
Yeah, she was amazing in Killer Joe, even though I didn't like that movie. But she was good in it. So, I mean, she's really good in everything. This is, like, one of her first, like, carry-the-movie type things, so...
I'm going to stick with a movie you talked about last week. I said I wanted to see it, and I did end up seeing it, and I really, really liked it. It's a disaster. I love Julia Stiles, and I like David Cross a lot, too. And I was really – and maybe it was just because I had low expectations for it, reading some of the reviews, what people were saying about it. But I thought it was really, really funny. Quite a few times did I LOL or LMAO while I was watching that. So I absolutely think, and I was trying to describe to somebody this week, and I said, you know, it's dark, it's about the end of the world. And they said, well, is it like that one you wanted me to watch last year, Seeking Your Friend for the End of the World? I said, no, it's less of a chick flick. That's kind of how I described it. But both good movies about the end of the world. And I don't, if we ever do a top five movies about the end of the world, I guarantee you one of those, if not both of them, would make it.
I wouldn't say it's the end of the world. It was the end of theirs.
Or was it?
I like that movie. It was in my top five of the year so far.
And had I seen it a week before, yeah, would have been in my top five too. I'd have thrown Charles Swan to the curb and we'd have put that in. But, you know, it's maybe it'll be in my top five or ten for the rest of the year. Who knows? What we do know is this week, in honor of the giant robots and monsters coming out, we're going to give you our top five monster movies.
I'm excited for this one.
There aren't aliens.
We did eliminate aliens from it. We usually come up with the discussion episodes like a week or so ahead. We've had this one for like 2 months. Like, oh, when Pacific Rim comes out, we need to do monster movies. So I'm excited for this one.
I'm happy with my list. Which is more than I could say for the last couple lists I've done. Yeah. I've not been real thrilled with the lineup, but I legitimately like all of these movies.
More on that later this week. Yeah. We'll do our discussion episode later this week. Till then, you can hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup. Check us out on iTunes or Stitcher. Stitcher we're doing pretty well on, actually. iTunes, leave us a review. I don't know who – I stopped using it, so then I just assume everybody stopped using it. But leave us a review. Give us a 5-star rating if you feel we're worthy.
It would really help. I know there are some pretty in-depth algorithms that are employed with iTunes, and people leaving comments, leaving reviews – would help us. I mean, not that we're out to win any podcast awards or Not that we're really out to do anything, but I don't know. It would be rad if you guys did that.
I agree reading them.
Yeah, that would be fun,
even though
too.
We don't get them
I haven't
ever.
Done that in a long time.
Yeah. But if you want more me, you can find me at Dave Bacella on Twitter. DaveBacella.com hasn't been updated in a long time, but I hope to change that soon. And I have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's Eric with a K, although we took this week off.
If you want more of Dave and I, obviously you can get our episode that'll be up later this week about monsters, but you can also check us out on the Sports Animal 1390 here in Youngstown or sportsanimal1390.com Thursday from 6 to 8. We'll be wrapping sports. Dave and I know not just about movies, but about sports as well. So we can be in your ears three times this week, and wouldn't that just be three times more than any recommended dose? But until either the monsters or the sports.
Keep it up.